up your frozen dinners, grab your TV tray, and settle in for another episode of the Plus Platoon, your podcast for all things Disney Plus, brought to you by Disney Plus fans. Watch along with us every week as we cover all the new, the old, the good, and the bad on Disney Plus. So put down that remote, don't touch that dial, and welcome your fabulous Plus Platoon host.
Hey everyone, welcome to the Plus Platoon. We're a Disney Plus fan podcast that gives honest, spoiler-filled reviews of movies and shows on Disney Plus. We'll look at new releases, coming attractions, and we'll even go back into the vault to revisit some of the classic Disney on the platform. Make sure you subscribe and you will never miss a moment. I'm going to bring in Kate. Kate, good to see you this evening.
We're almost there. Almost there.
Hey, we are. My spring break starts Friday. So, yeah. And I'm almost there.
So you are. It's true.
We're heading down south for a week. So next, we have got audio and a rather probably dated picture of Pete. Pete, glad
it's not that dated. I don't know what you guys are talking about.
He's having some video issues, but he's with us here on audio, so you'll still be able to figure out what he thinks of the movie.
Yeah, in honor of Mama Odie, I've decided to go blind.
Excellent.
Okay.
Is that tasteless?
Excellent. A little bit, yeah.
I like it.
Kind of like
in honor of Matt Murdock, I've decided to go blind.
There you go. That works too.
And we've got Steve this week. Steve, how's your week going?
It's going. You say that.
Yeah, I get that. So, guys, if you're not already, please like, subscribe. We are doing lots of fun shows coming up. There's some series that we're going to be talking about coming up that are really exciting that I think most of us are actually looking forward to watching. I'm not sure about that one over there. But, and we've got some fun movies coming out. So, this week, we are doing Princess and the Frog. I'm going to Disney next week. They've turned it into Tiana's Bayou Adventure, and I had never seen the movie. So this is actually a fresh watch for me, which doesn't happen very often. So story is Tiana takes place in the 20s, and Tiana, opening shot is her and her family and how her dad has been working hard, but makes sure that she realizes that working hard is not everything, as long as you have your dream, and his dream was their family. So that comes in important later. And then it skips ahead. He has died somehow. It almost makes it feel like she died in World War One type feeling.
That's implied. Yeah.
Yeah. Then who is that voice? No, anyway, then she has been working double and triple shifts a lot to try and save enough money to buy this old rundown sugar mill to turn into her dream of her restaurant. And all of a sudden this prince is coming in from, I always want to say Moldova, but that Princess Diaries. No, it's not
fake country regardless.
Anyway, Prince comes in and we find out that he is actually just a jerk that has been disowned by his parents for being lazy. And he has a butler, for the lack of term, with him that looks a whole lot like Louis from Jungle Book, which is actually done intentionally. I've read somewhere that he was made to look like King Louis from the Jungle Book. And he gets in with Dr. Felicier or something like that.
Felicia.
And sorry, Steve's down here kind of cringing at me. And gets turned into a frog because he goes there trying to get rich, and his essence gets taken by his butler. And essentially they're using it to go after this Southern Belle princess in her daddy's mind anyway. And to make an already long story short, Tiana finds the frog, kisses him, and it actually turns her into a frog. They go wandering through the swamp to find this blind Creole prophet, Tiresias. Oh, sorry, not Tiresias. That's a little bit too Greek tragedy there. And then they, at the meantime, the butler and the voodoo guy are trying to get the...
You can call him the shadow man if you want.
Sure, because I can't remember his name otherwise.
Yeah.
So the butler and the shadow man are trying to get this Southern Belle to marry the prince stand-in, Prince Naveen stand-in. And they run into Lewis, this the trumpet playing gator. They run into this Creole lightning bug. And eventually it comes to out that he was going to get kissed because he was going to give her the money if the rich girl agreed to marry him. Tiana says no because she loves him. The girl agrees to kiss him, but is like 2 seconds too late, which Disney's got to get their continuity straight on that. Either midnight is at the 12th stroke or the first stroke. As you're going to see next week, they don't line up.
Right.
Technically, midnight is the first stroke.
So this movie was right. Yeah.
This movie was right. Cinderella gets it wrong. Because if it's the 12th stroke, that's actually like usually like 12:01. So
yeah, plus you always say the stroke of midnight. That would be the
first stroke.
That would be the first stroke. I agree.
Yeah. So they end up staying as frogs. They go get married, and him kissing her after they were married, because he was a prince, she was therefore somehow a princess, not a duchess, which we can get into later. and therefore, him kissing this princess turned them back both human, and they agreed to work hard for it, and he gets readopted by his family, and everyone lives happily ever after with her in this great big fancy restaurant. So,
except for the firefly
that actually dies, but becomes like the second star to the right of the evening star. Actually, he's down to the left. But there are some specific story issues that we'll get to in a little bit. But this was a hand drawn movie by Disney. This was the last of the true hand-drawn movies. And the question is, did being hand-drawn contribute to the lack of success for this movie? Because this was not, at least initially, a successful movie in theaters. So, Pete, you kind of brought this one up, so I'm going to kind of let you lead off on this one.
So here's my feeling on this. There's a number of reasons this movie didn't succeed. One of them not being that it's genuinely good, because it is, but the one of it was the name, which they had after the fact realized that by using the word princess in the title, they kind of turned off a large portion of the population, apparently, which is actually the reason that the Rapunzel movie is called Tangled and the Snow Queen movie is called Frozen, is because this movie failed with the title Princess and the Frog. So you can thank this movie for the titles anyways of Tangled. Right. And it actually wasn't the last hand-drawn animation. There was the Winnie the Pooh sequel actually came out the year after this.
Okay.
These were both driven by John Lasseter when he came from his role with Pixar and came to Walt Disney Animation a few years prior to this. One of the things he wanted to do was see hand-drawn animation came back. And regardless of whether it did contribute, it was considered to have contributed to it. And then the Winnie the Pooh movie didn't do well at all, which I don't think was all that surprising, since that's a movie kind of directed at 5-year-olds, but
I loved that movie. And that's fine.
Did you go to the theater by yourself
No, I went with me and some of my roommates went.
Oh, really? Okay.
I went to the theater to see it.
Yeah.
Well, then why did it? No. Anyways, So regardless of all that history, I do think maybe people weren't ready at that point anyways for Hand-Drawn to come back. I think you were still very early in the establishment of computer or 3D computer animation. Even though we're almost 15 years since Toy Story, the first 6 or 7 years, the quality wasn't really there. Go back and look at like the first Shrek, which I think was 2001, and some movies around that time, and you'll see that, you know, they weren't really there. So we were still getting like
years since Toy Story. What? It's been 20 years since Toy Story.
I didn't need that kind of.
No, this night.
It's been 30 years.
No, this movie came out in 2009, which is 15 years. So I honestly think now if they did a hand-drawn movie, I think it's been long enough that people would actually be drawn to it. But I think at that time, you just had like The Incredibles and I think Kung Fu Panda was around that time. And so you had some really beautifully animated 3D movies. And, you know, again, Finding Dory wasn't too far before that. And, the Pixar movies and everything. So I think Up was right around then, I think. So I think that compared to what was being done with computer generated 3D animation, that the 2D animation felt very old fashioned, but was not far enough away from it to feel nostalgic. Because it had really only been the late 90s that we were still getting hand drawn animation out of Disney. So I think if they did it now, it would feel more nostalgic. But so I think that's a long, circuitous way of saying I think it did contribute somewhat to the lack of success. I did a little research. The other contributing factor may have been this little indie film that came out a week after Princess and the Frog called Avatar.
Oh.
So there might have been other draws to the theater at that time. Sometimes that can happen too. But Steve, what do you think?
I was going to ask you, Pete, bringing that up. Do you think it was like a generational thing? Like when I saw it, I grew up with the traditional animation, so it just felt more natural to me. But I'm wondering, like, for the younger generation, maybe Kate, where...
It's me. I'm the younger generation.
You talked about, or you've seen all these movies growing up.
Yeah.
But I look at my students where they're used to all the computer stuff. If they saw, when they saw this, they sort of deem it older than it really is because of the animation style.
I would agree with that. I would definitely say that, especially because, as you said, it was like less than 15 years removed. And then it was about 15 years after, the Lion Kings and that set of movies, Pocahontas, that set of movies coming through. It was the same year as Up came out. It was a year before Despicable Me. So we're in that time frame. I have a feeling. No, I did not go see this in the theaters. Well, obviously, if this is my first time watching it, but I would see it as old. I agree. I would say definitely look at it as more of an old fashioned type movie compared, because it was very obviously hand animated.
Interesting.
So.
Because I don't see it as old fashioned at all. I think I would like this movie less if it was CGI, if it was computer graphics. I loved the animation in this, but Steve is right though.
Now you realize like Tangled and those kind of things are computer animated, right? Tangled and Frozen are both computers.
That's right. Fair. I mean, I was not the biggest Frozen fan. I know Disney blasphemy. I loved Tangled, but I liked it. I don't think that the popularity of it depended on if it was CGI versus hand drawn. I think it was great. But I grew up on hand drawn, so
Yeah, and I guess we're all the older style. We're all older because, let's face it, Kate, you are still, you know, one of the older.
I am a wee babe.
Yeah, for about another 2 days.
This comes out on my birthday.
She's a millennial.
Elder millennial, thank you.
She is very much a millennial.
I'm an elder millennial. I'm on the older side.
You brought up an interesting point. So he thinks that if they brought it out now, hand-drawn animation would work. And so I'm going to bring this up to you guys. Does hand-drawn animation in movies still work? Now, there are some that fairly recently that do have hand-drawn animation. I know, for example, Maui's tattoos in Moana were hand-drawn animation. There are movies that have sections of hand-drawn animation sometimes, but would a full-blown hand-drawn animated movie still work? Steve, any thoughts?
Yes, but I think it really comes down to the story. I'm thinking like Kate was says, I feel like the hand-drawn on Tiana gives the feel and the movie and the location really sort of works together. And like it was CGI, would that have got the theme? So I think yes, but it really depends on the story, right?
Okay. I mean, to me, story should trump everything.
Well, you should.
Good.
For sure.
Which is why I think some of the stuff recently hasn't worked, even though it looks amazing, is the stories have been weak. So I think you're right, Pete. I think there needed to be this gap where, see, one problem with this is there are not the hand-drawn animators anymore. And you look at, like, we looked at that Disney 100 Year short where all of the characters in that were hand-drawn animated.
Mm-hmm.
And they didn't look as smooth as they did in the original movies. For the most part, even though some of it you could tell basically they traced over the top of it. I'm thinking specifically the Peter Pan flight part of it. So I don't know that the hand-drawn animation talent in a mass production scale is there right now.
See, I disagree. I think it totally works. In fact, I would rather see, and I'm thinking of like movies
I didn't say it didn't work. I said there are big story hurdles and there's big drawing talent hurdles.
Yeah.
And it would have to overcome first.
Yeah, I guess that's true.
I know. Steve, your daughter's in she has an animation major, right?
Pete, yeah.
What do you think her thoughts on this would be? Or any discussions as far as like
I know because we watched the movie together. She's home for spring break and we talked about it. And she prefers, they don't really call it hand-drawn animation. They call it 2D animation because even though it's, I guess, still hand-drawn, everything's done on the computer now, regardless of whether it's 3D or 2D. There's no drawing it on paper and, you know, taking photos or taking shots and things like that. Everything's done in the computer. Her class, again, this is a small sample. It's only 15 people. But she said that all but one of them are doing 2D animation for their final project. Because the thing with 3D is a lot of it is not artistic animation per se. A lot of it is programming and drawing and pulling lines and doing stuff like more like a computer programmer than like an animator. And part why that switch took a while. When this movie came out, it probably wasn't that hard to find 2D animators because if you look back in Disney history, this was only 5 years after their last, we think of it as, oh, this was the comeback of hand-drawn or
it
TV.
It wasn't that long after.
But it was only 5 years after Home on the Range, which isn't a great example, but, you know, it's... Brother Bear was the year before that. Lilo and Stitch was the year before that. So you're only talking 6-7 years after some good hand-drawn animated movies. But, you know, so I think a lot of the, I mean, based on talking to my daughter, I think there's interest from animators out there to still do the 2D hand-drawn style of animation. As far as the public goes, I think I'm with you. If it's an entertaining story and it's marketed well, you know, it's something that interests people, I think it could succeed. I don't know that Disney's willing to make the risk. I mean, when we talked about Wish, that at one point they were planning on doing that as a traditional 2D animation, and then they kind of reworked it and put it as 3D, and it ended up as this kind of hybrid-y, weird-looking thing. But that was completely because Disney chickened out, and you know the management people were like, "Oh, we can't do a 2D movie or something like that." So, you know, not that movie would have succeeded as 2D because it wasn't very good.
The story was terrible.
Yeah, but so I'm kind of glad they didn't. But you know, I someone's going to have to take a chance with it. I'm not sure that Disney, as who they are right now, is going to be that person to take a chance and put out a traditional 2D movie, sadly. Okay.
Yeah, and I don't know if you've had this conversation with her, but is there a job market for 2D animators right now?
Sure, because outside of movies, a lot of other forms of media use 2D animation. So there's a lot of television shows that are 2D animated. If you think about you know, some of the Disney Channel shows, I mean, Phineas and Ferb, which is coming back, that was 2D animation. The Owl House, which wasn't too long. I'm trying to think of the shows that are current.
A lot of 2D animation.
A lot of the Cartoon Network. And so really predominantly it's movies that are 3D. And then of course, video games, a lot of the video game cutscenes are also animation. And obviously that's all, for the most part, all 3D animation.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I think, so there's a market out there, but it's not for movies going into movie theaters, at least.
Okay.
So,
all right. So is this movie more princessly, because I would have done princely, but you know, it's princessly, or more slimy / mucusy. So, because as we learned, it's not slime, it's mucus.
You could have said, or did it croak like a toad, like a frog, or did it croak like a frog?
I'm good.
But I mean,
anyway, it's almost spring break. What do you want from my teacher brain?
That's so fair.
Hey, I'm going to let you start. Is it more princessly or is it more slimy?
So real talk, I was excited to watch this movie. And then I think that I love the music of this movie so much that it blinded me from how this movie has stretches of parts that are completely unneeded and don't. Did I just hear Pete gasp?
No, you heard me snore.
No, that was
this is probably in my top three favorite soundtracks. I love the music from this movie. I love the music, but the music, I just feel like it could have been, it drags in parts a lot. It drags. The whole entire section with the three guys who are hunting for frogs, yep, that entire part could have been cut. I love Ray. I love his song with Evangeline. I love Mama Odie. I would have loved to have seen a little bit more of Mama Odie. I actually really like the Shadow Man, Facilier. I think he is a fabulous villain. I know that he is one of my favorites. If I ever go into the parks on Halloween, he is one that I want to meet with.
He's a great face character.
Oh, for sure,
in the parks.
Fabulous.
Yeah.
But I so feel like fun. They could have dug even a little bit more into.
They could have dug deeper.
crushing with the puns tonight. Yeah, I would have loved a little bit more Vasilier and a little bit more on his, like, maybe a little bit of his backstory or just a little bit more of him. Because I feel like we did really just scratch the surface with him. Listen, the parks have done a disservice by not having Lottie meet with Tiana in the parks. Disservice. The fact that they, oh my God, have her come out. Now, my Disneyland folks.
Okay, time out. Just so I remember, Lottie's the Southern Belle Princess, right?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. Are you kidding? She would be hilarious.
Once. Give me a break.
No. It's okay. To my Disneyland, and I know Gina in the background, have they had Lottie at Disneyland ever?
No.
I don't believe so.
That is a disservice. Because she, you could take, I mean, disservice. Because people would pay so much money just to meet Lottie because she is so funny. And every girl deserves a friend like Lottie. When she was at her party, this is one of my favorite parts of the movie. She was at her party and Tiana messed up the beignets and she's at the table and everything is messed. She very well could have done, you ruined my party. This is all your fault. And what does she do? She goes, we'll be back. We'll be right back. And she doesn't ask any questions and she picks her up and she takes her and she gives her another dress. That is a friend. We need a Lottie and Tiana meet and greet 10 years ago. That's all I have to say. Go ahead, Pete.
Yeah.
She summed it up. I agree with most of what Kate said there. This movie, I can tell you exactly when this came out because we went to this opening night and the next day we went to Disney World for my 40th birthday, which is the only time I've ever been to Disney for my birthday. So I can tell you exactly when it opened, or maybe not the day of, but it was a Friday in early to mid-December of 2009, and they had a cavalcade at the time to celebrate this movie where the characters came out and a band and everything came out and they walked through Liberty Square and then they got on the Liberty Bell and they made this big performance. They performed all the songs and everything, and it was awesome. It really was. They only did that for like a month or something like that, or maybe a little longer, but I wish they'd do more things like that for movies nowadays to really like focus on them in the parks instead of just, oh, we're going to bring out a character or whatever. Cause they had Louis, they had Dr. Facilier, they had, you know, just about everybody on the boat. But back to the movie, I pretty much agree with what Kate says. I like this movie a lot. I love the songs. We played the soundtrack a lot. There's not a stinker in this group of songs, which is pretty rare for a Disney movie. I'm going to say there's not a stinker. You may not agree, Derek, but I don't think there's a stinker in this group. The middle of this movie is a little flabby, and it could probably use with 10 minutes of cutting, 5 minutes of which are those three Cajun hunters, which feel like it's probably offensive to somebody. Watching them, but overall, I still really enjoy this movie. I think it's as far as you know, in the canon of princess movies, even though Tiana is a princess for about 30 seconds of the movie, I think it fits in there. So, Steve,
I agree with both of you. For most parts, it's Princess Lee, but there are some very slimy, boring parts to it. So, and Lottie is my favorite character, cracks me up all the time. So
she's so great.
Yeah.
She's so great. You're telling me that we have the stepsisters from Cinderella who are also hilarious and we didn't get Lottie? And you could take, well, I better not say that. Just such demand. And I'm honestly shocked that Disneyland hasn't, because Disneyland is usually the park that pulls out those obscure characters and people lose their minds every single time. I'll get off my soapbox. Go ahead, Derek.
to me, this was a little bit more slimy. This was a 97-minute movie that could have been 77 minutes. They could have cut more than just the frog hunters. The beginning of this is slow. S-L-O-O-O-W, slow. I would argue that while the songs are all in style, they're not all great. I would argue, now, I love Dig a Little Deeper. Dig a Little Deeper is as close to Under the Sea as this song, as this movie comes. Because if we're going to look hand-drawn animation, we have to, I had to compare it to Lion King, Little Mermaid, Beauty and the Beast, that era of movies. Because there were a couple of shots that looked a whole lot like I Just Can't Wait to Be King with the spirals and everything going in circles and stuff. Or Donald at Fantasmic. But I would argue not every song is great. Realistically, I mean, there's a bunch of good songs, but some of them get a little repetitive because they all kind of sound very similar. And they're all not exactly super up tempo until we get to Dig a Little Deeper. And Dig a Little Deeper comes so late in the movie. It's well into the second half of the movie before we get any kind, because Friends on the Other Side is not an up-tempo song. Almost There's not really that up-tempo.
Yeah, but Be Prepared isn't an up-tempo song either.
No, I didn't say it was, okay. But that comes immediately after Just Can't Wait to Be King.
Yeah, I would say the... why am I not thinking of the name of it? The one with the fireflies is very up-tempo.
Gonna Take You There, maybe?
Yeah. Gonna Take You All the Way There.
That one was a fun song. It was up-tempo. It wasn't super catchy. But...
Maybe it's your love of Zydeco. I really enjoy Zydeco. It's usually what I try to look up when I go to New Orleans. So...
See, I've never been to New Orleans.
Oh. Yeah. Oh. Okay. Great. So here's a thought.
There's so much time going to New Orleans Southeast, but
yeah.
I feel that the songs, like when I start listening to them, they come back to me. I can start humming them. I don't think that like other Disney songs that they don't stick with you. Right. Like I don't catch myself singing the songs from here, but if they come on, I know instantly like the beat to it. If that makes sense.
And see, right? To me, the only one that has stuck in my head is Dig a Little Deeper. Much more than Almost There. Much more. Although I did love, you know, that opening, you know, the Evening Star is Shining Bright part. That's the intro to the actual like fireworks section of Wishes or of Happily Ever After. So, okay, yeah. Kate, tell me why I'm
wrong. You don't get the song that in the Southland, there's a city way down on the river.
I love that song with the animation because and part of Derek's like this movie's too long. Like that song in like 2 minutes showed us every character in the movie in that one sequence and like basically gave us information about them that should have allowed them to not spend as much time with each of the characters. But that particular sequence was really I thought really well done. And without doing the Encanto thing of like, here's the song where we introduce everybody and here's all the characters and that's the name and that's what they do, blah, blah, blah. You know, it showed you all the characters, but the lyrics of the song did not introduce you to the characters. It was the visuals that did it. So I was very impressed by that opening song. Yeah, I would agree with Derek in that there are better... I mean, the real golden age 90s stuff, Beauty and the Beast and Little Mermaid are better than these songs, but I don't think that diminishes that these are still very good songs, I think. Are they all great? No, but I still would say there's not a stinker in them. And, you know, to me, you listen to a lot of even Frozen, there's a couple stinkers in there. So,
yeah. I would also argue most of Randy Newman's stuff, the songs he wrote for Pixar, I mean, this has like two or three real good ones and several that aren't as amazing to me. So it, which kind of stands up as a Randy Newman thing. He usually writes one or two real good songs in a Pixar movie and then the rest are okay.
Yeah. Well, so. It's probably a difference between listening to it hundreds of times and listening to it once too.
Yes. I said, I have literally seen this one time today.
Yeah.
So, now that being said, did anyone else, my initial thought was, why is Sully playing the dad?
Wasn't Sully that it was, oh no, wait.
It was John Goodman. That was Sully.
It was John Goodman. Yeah. You're right. I'm sorry.
So, okay. So as you can see behind me, they have chosen this at, they chose this as the re-theme for Splash Mountain. We're not going to get into an argument of should Splash Mountain have been taken away. That's not the argument we're looking for here. The argument we're looking for here is, was this the best choice to put into Splash Mountain? Steve, yes or no?
Since I've seen it in both parks, I would say it works for Disneyland. It does not work for Disney World.
Okay, what would you put instead?
Oh, I'm not sure. I mean, I don't go enough for Disneyland because we have New Orleans Square. It all ties that part of the park nicely together. For because World, I don't know what I'd put.
First, remember, it is relatively close to New Orleans Square, isn't it?
Yes. They go from one thing, like Haunted Mansion, you walk far, a little bit farther, and then yeah, you're and, at
and,
there. So
and a Haunted Mansion in California is themed to a Southern Gothic.
Yeah. Yeah. So it all really works. Another IP that I put in there.
I've got one, but it's a little bit more obscure. So I'm going to like, any thoughts or going to pass? So
I'll be honest. I haven't seen Tiana's at either park. While I know Splash Mountain and Song of the South was culturally questionable, I always enjoyed Splash Mountain. So I don't know. I don't know if it's, I don't know what else I would put in there. I will agree because someone, and I'm not naming names, Gina in the background, told me that because I haven't ridden it, I don't know the storyline that it follows, and apparently it doesn't follow the movie.
No, it doesn't. It's like after the movie.
Yeah, no, that's silly. It should have followed the movie, in my opinion. It should have followed the movie, unless they were planning on making a Princess and the Frog 2.
Well, which we learned last week that they are.
Well, but is it going to follow that movie?
No. They were originally going to do it as a series, but now it's going to become more of a, they're morphing it more into a feature animation because they couldn't, feature movie because they couldn't get it to do what they wanted to as a series with the budget they were given.
Yeah, I don't feel like I can really speak to this one because I haven't seen it. I haven't seen the ride. It seems like it should fit well.
Yes.
Hypothetical.
Oh, I have thoughts on the ride, but the theming works for Disneyland.
It seems like it should fit well, theming wise.
Yeah.
Yeah, I can't think of what would work because, I mean, you got to have something that's water somewhat based. I mean, I guess Song of the South wasn't technically water based either.
No,
but like it helps that, you know, it's a water based story and this is a bayou. Now, bayous are pretty flat. So, you know, I think from that, that perspective,
the Rescuers.
What?
The Rescuers.
Ooh.
Well, yeah, the Wet Rescuers.
Looking at the bayou.
Yeah.
That's a great option, though.
Well, I think the reason they went with Tiana is because even though this movie did not originally do well in theaters, it has become extremely popular, and the character has become extremely popular in the parks enough that they have her in the meet and greets and they have her in a restaurant in 1900 Park Fair and everything. So,
is there a Tiana restaurant anywhere?
There is a quick service at Disneyland, isn't there?
Yeah.
Also and on a the, missed opportunity.
And on the cruise line, one of the themed restaurants is Tiana-based.
So we don't know if it's going to happen, but when they originally announced the Lakeside Lodge at between Fort Wilderness and Wilderness Lodge, it was announced to have a Tiana themed restaurant. We do not know if version 2.0 will have one or not.
Okay.
They have not re-announced.
Missed opportunity.
Yeah.
I would have done this as I still love, remember all of the old quote American heroes shorts from Disney? You've got Paul Bunyan, Johnny Appleseed, Jones. Do that on this ride. A, it fits into, and Gina's massively agreeing with me in the background. It fits into Frontierland. This isn't Frontierland. This isn't Caribbean Square. This is its own little thing, and it's definitely not.
Good point.
And it's definitely not going to go with the Villains Land. This is kind of its own little thing. Versus, you want to talk about the American West? You want to talk about the American, frontier? That's where you can again pull in the Paul Bunyan. Now that would mean they would actually have to put them on Disney Plus, but which sadly none of those are, and those are great cartoons. It's a great way to introduce elementary school kids to some of the legends without them being too racist, minus Pecos, which how they still have Pecos Bills, and Pecos Bills caught the cartoon of Pecos Bill has Peter Pan Indian type racist.
Yeah.
In it. But that's what I would have put here. I would have done American Heroes. I would have, because no matter what you put, it did not matter what you put here. People are going to ride the ride at Disney World. It does not matter that this is Tiana's. People are going to ride this just the same as they did Splash. It does not matter what it is themed for rideage.
I would agree with that, but I also think that Disney wanted to find a way to bring Tiana into the parks.
I would agree with that.
And this was a relatively inexpensive way to do it.
Yeah.
I honestly think, even though we know the problems with Song of the South, I don't think there was really a big uproar for Disney to, even though people were complaining about, planning that Disney's getting woke or whatever, I don't think that there was really that big an uproar that, oh, this ride is offensive or anything
If there was that big of an uproar, it wouldn't still be this, and wouldn't still be Song of the South in Japan. Although it is getting redone to Tiana's, but still. So as we always do for our movies, we do Cups of Pixie Dust out of 5, and we are just doing it for the actual movie Princess and the Frog out of 5. Kate.
Oh, okay. See, I want to give it a 2.5, except the music is so good to me. I feel like that would bump it to a 3. But a 3 is what I rewatch it, and I don't know if I would go back and rewatch it again. Give it a 2.5.
Okay.
I give this a 4. I was considering higher, but in the end, there's some soft parts to this movie, but I really enjoy all the characters. I think the animation is wonderful. I think the songs are wonderful. The problems are generally minor, and you could tell me, I watched this 2 days ago. You could tell me, let's watch it tonight. I'd probably watch it again. So,
okay. I changed mine. Change mine to a 3. I'm swayed.
I'm going 3.5. Almost a 4, but I like the songs. I like the story. There was some slow parts, but 3.5.
Yeah, it's not quite up there with the greatest.
Mm-mm. Right.
But the music is so good.
I can't call it the great. I can't put it up there with The Lion King and the, the Little Mermaid and Incredibles. Correct.
Yeah,
I just can't. So that's why I ended up with it.
Do you feel like if they cut out the parts that make it slow, that it would rank higher?
But you can say that about any movie. Yeah. If they fixed the movie, liked it more, would you give it a higher rating? Well, probably.
I think for me, I might have pushed it to the 4, but 3.5.
Okay, go ahead, Derek.
Guys, I'm at a 2. Wow. I was wrong. A 2.5. even at a 2.5, I probably wouldn't watch it again necessarily, but I might watch sections of a 2.5 again. If it is not very specific, like 1.5 to 2 minute sections of this, I don't need to see this again. It didn't hold my attention, and the music wasn't enough to get me to push it up for that. So, I mean, yeah.
Ooh, I was harsh on it. Y'all made me feel, I thought, okay. I was harsh.
Okay. Also this week.
Not quite as harsh as Derek.
Not quite.
We're going to call you Derek Jr., Kate.
I'm in.
Also this week, Daredevil premiered. Now, I know Pete watched the Daredevil premiere 2 episodes. Kate, did you get a chance to watch it?
No, because I didn't think it premiered until next week. So okay. I didn't know it premiered.
Spoiler free. He's going to go spoiler free on this.
Oh, wait. Go ahead, Pete.
So,
go ahead.
General initial thoughts of the Daredevil series on Disney Plus, Pete.
So I've been rewatching the original 3 seasons. I'm about 1.5 seasons through that. I apparently only made it through the first season because when I started watching the second season, I remembered none of it. So I must have only watched the first season. I would say that the new series is, if you like the original series, if you like the Daredevil, a little more of a realistic superhero type movie, gritty, somewhat violent. The new series works so far. I wouldn't say it's as good as the original. I would put it a step down from the original, for a couple of reasons that I won't go into because I don't want to spoil anything. It is so far not nearly as violent.
You can go ahead and spoil it because I'm going to watch it no matter what. You can spoil it.
No, you don't want to be spoiled.
Oh, okay. I'm so mad. I just need to put this out there. I sent this in the group chat, but I'm so mad because Pete sent our group chat a text and was like, Kate, you're going to hate this. And I thought
No. He says, I don't think you're going to like it.
Oh, I thought you were saying that from the promo, which I haven't watched. Oh. I didn't realize that it had. I'm so mad I didn't watch this. I'm so mad. Continue.
Yeah, you're going to be even madder. Did you watch it, Steve? You're kind of like.
I did. I did watch it. I have not seen. I might have seen one episode of the original. My thoughts right now. Yes, it's violent in parts, like right up to the part where I wasn't liking it, but it's moving too slow for me. It was a slog for me to get through the first episode.
The original series moves very slow too.
Yes, very slow. At least I knew who some characters were. My other half walked in and went, "Who's that?" And I think he watched the original. And I had to do some explaining. So I at least knew enough of the characters I could follow along.
Yeah. I'm gonna keep watching. I would say. If you watched the original and enjoyed it, I would check it out. If you're a Marvel fan, it's fine. I mean, it's only 2 episodes so far, so we'll see. It's going to be 9 total, I believe. And they're doing some weird things. Like episode 5 and 6 are coming out the same night, and then I think maybe the last 2 are coming out the same night too, or something strange. I know we're getting Disney Plus news. Did you see what they're doing with Andor? Is that the Disney Plus news?
Disney Plus news. Kate, what have we got for Disney Plus news this week?
Yep. Let me pull it up. So first of all, Mufasa will be coming to Disney Plus on March 26th.
Yeah. We're gonna have people watch it. And if anyone really thinks it's truly a good movie, we might review it. Otherwise, we're going to treat it like we do all the other live actions.
Next up. Andor will be having an unusual release schedule next month. Starting April 22nd, the series will release 3 episodes a week, which in the series timeline is a year of activity. This means the entire series will be released over the course of 4 weeks. All right. Interesting. And last but certainly not least, an Oswald the Lucky Rabbit is rumored to have a series coming from Jon Favreau. It will be a hybrid animation live action show. No release date has been put forth yet. So when they say hybrid, is that like
Roger Rabbit?
Roger Rabbit. Okay.
Yeah.
I'm nervous.
Yeah, that could be hit or miss.
I'm not gonna do any judgment until I actually see a release date for it, because that's one of those series that is great and could be good in theory, but let's wait until, at this point, until we actually see a true release date for any series on Disney Plus, I'm not going to get too excited one way or another. So, okay. Next week, I will be at Disney World. And so, therefore, what better movie than for us to be doing than Cinderella? So, we are doing the original, it's the original animated Cinderella. That is what we're doing this week. I don't think I need to go into the story at all on that one. So, but that's what we're doing next week. I will tell you, we actually taped this one a couple weeks ago, and there's kind of an interesting discussion on where Cinderella ranks as far as its place in the pantheon of Disney movies. So, that's what we got next week. I said, we got some spots coming up. If you have suggestions, please email us at plusplatoon@gmail.com. If you want to see us do Andor as a feature for a month, let us know. If you don't care about Andor, let us know. If you have suggestions, email us, send us messages on YouTube, Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, wherever. We'll answer all your messages. We take all suggestions you guys give us. We have new episodes Thursdays on YouTube and all the major podcasting services. For Kate, Pete, and Steve, Gina, our lovely producer, being back, we love having you here. We will see everyone next week. Bye, guys.
Thanks for watching this week's episode of the Plus Platoon. Be sure to subscribe to the Plus Platoon podcast to keep getting great content each week. Then head over to Apple Podcasts and leave those 5-star reviews, as they help make the Plus Platoon visible to even more Disney Plus fans. Also, go to YouTube and like and subscribe to the Plus Platoon channel, where you can watch all future episodes live. If you have a question for the Plus Platoon, please send us an email to plusplatoon@gmail.com or connect with us on Facebook, Twitter, or Instagram at Plus Platoon.
The Plus Platoon is a Disney Plus fan podcast and is not affiliated with the Walt Disney Company or the Disney Plus streaming service. All opinions expressed on the show are solely those of the individual hosts and in no way reflect the views of the Walt Disney Company.
Thanks for watching, and be sure to stay tuned for next week's episode, because the Plus Platoon is to be continued.